Hi, I'm Flo from Progressive. Being a baseball fanatic like me can be stressful. It's not all sports points and touchdowns. So Progressive is going to help you take your mind off your team for a moment. Instead of thinking about how they missed that goal point score, think about the Name Your Price tool from Progressive letting you choose coverage options based on your budget. Unlike your team that missed the end zone net area. Well, anyway, hope this distraction about Progressive's Name Your Price tool was helpful. It sure kept me from thinking about all those penalty balls. Yay, sports!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Switch to Spectrum Mobile and get unlimited data for only $29.99 per month each when you get two or more lines. You could save hundreds on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts. Click to try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator, and in three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save. Offer valid for new customers on two or more unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com for details.
Start 9:30. You said you were going to start 9:30, and then it gets all shitty with me. Welcome to the Browns Wire Podcast. This is your host, Josh Keatley. With me, as always, is Donovan James. Donovan is. Are you comfortable? Are you feeling good in Tennessee?
Go Zags. Go Zags.
Go Zags.
Sorry, I had to say that. Still one number one team in the country. Yeah, I'm feeling comfortable in Tennessee, man. It's, you know, just still getting used, getting acclimated, you know, just feeling like a rookie, you know, first couple games, getting that rust off. And I'm feeling comfortable, you know, so I'm feeling good, working, living life with my lovely girlfriend. So,
bro. Did you see, because you said go Zags, I know you're from the West Coast, CBS Sports or whoever it was, I don't know, you probably actually have already seen it, the map for the top 250 recruits for the class of 2022?
For basketball?
For football. It's if someone has the map, it's the 24/7 sports map of the top 250 recruits, and 90% of them are on the East Coast.
Oh, like and, where? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the West Coast,
they didn't play football.
Yeah, they didn't have football. So California's just got approved to play. But then you got to think, like, a lot of those guys are not going to play.
The recruiting ramifications of them sitting out an entire year are going to be felt for a while.
It's going to be felt for 3 to 5 years, that whole cycle. Especially with the transfer portal might help a little bit, but not really. Because a lot of the West Coast guys transferred, but that hasn't really helped the Pac-12 schools. It kind of hurts them.
It'll be very strange. It'll be very strange.
It will be.
Which reminds me, Donovan and I will be working on an Ohio State football podcast that we haven't named yet. We're still working the kinks out. But before we get into all that, we'll stick with the NFL. This is an NFL podcast. Donovan, you have some listener questions. Is that right?
Yeah, man, we had a couple from last week, and then we had a couple from I interviewed a scout, a former NFL scout, AFC West area, a scout.
And that's right.
People had
that's
questions right. for me, kind of like pertaining to like this podcast. It was cool. It was like random stuff that I liked. So yeah, well, they had kind of questions mainly for you first. Like the big question was, you're like, what? What is this?
So who are no, I didn't get any questions. Usually I get a few trickle in. I didn't get any questions last week. We did get I was telling Donovan before the show, we did get a big bump in listenership. It's because everybody is so passionate about Johnny Manziel. But I didn't get any questions. So I'm kind of surprised someone reached out to you with one.
Well, because when I did a Facebook Live and a Periscope on Friday night, and I had to cut it early. I'm sorry, people. I had to cut it early. I had some stuff coming on, but I cut it early. But yeah, they had some questions because like someone was like, "Hey, ask your co-host this," and he's like, "Because they know, like, you know, I know my Browns, I know my football, but like, you're the man. You're the host of the show. You're the Browns guy. You're from Ohio." So they asked. This is a good question though. What Ohio State player? Do you think more likely will be drafted to the Browns? So obviously you would want like you know whoever the best Justin Fields. I don't know, maybe not Justin Fields, but you know, what player do you want to be on the Browns from Ohio State the most? Basically,
realistically,
yeah.
I don't think Sean Wade is a bad. Sean Wade is he had a very rough year. because he moved from playing slot corner to outside corner. And he struggled. He did. I don't think he's bad. I think he's got a good athletic profile. Donovan, you've heard me talk about him constantly. He's big. He's very physical at the line of scrimmage. I like him a lot. There's a lot to like. He's a good wrap-up tackler. That's someone I think you can really move around in your defensive backfield and kind of be a chess piece, whether he's a free safety or again, you're lining him up in the slot. And he should be available in the second or even third round, depending on how his pro day goes and all that. I think he'd be a good fit in this defensive backfield.
Yeah, I agree with you. To have Denzel Ward and Sean Wayne, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Because Sean doesn't need to be your number one corner.
No.
He's definitely a two guy or a slot guy. But, okay. So over – is there any other guys? Or is that the main one?
That's the main one.
What's his name? Tommy
– Togai. Togai.
I think the defensive tackle. Personally, this is a question for you, though, not me. So.
No, I like that. That's a good one. He's a guy with a really good attitude. He's a very highly recruited guy, as you're well aware of. He's a very disruptive interior defensive player. That's a guy that could come in. I don't know if they're going to they probably do have a role for him because Ogunjobi's likely going to be gone, and Togiai kind of fits that mold. So that's a good one too, and he should be in there in the middle of the rounds. That's probably going to be something that's there rounds 4, 5, or 6. So I like that one too.
All right, I feel like I had to ask that first. That's a good one.
There's one other player, and it's funny. Everybody's gonna whoever's listening to this is going to light me up. But I don't think Tough Borland is as bad as everybody acts. He does not have a great athletic profile. He's not going to be a great linebacker, but this is going to be someone who's probably available in round 7, and he makes tackles, and I think he can stick on a roster. You know, we've seen these linebackers miss a lot of tackles, so that might be a guy that is there in the 7th round and may surprise people and be in the NFL for 10 years. I think Sam Penix actually just commented and said Sean Wade. So he agrees.
He agrees. That's cool. The interaction. Shout out Eric Cumbie, by the way. He's the one that asked that question. The other question was, do you think Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit are permanent starters for the Browns for years to come? Didn't say Pro Bowlers or All-Pros, just permanent starters. Just solid.
Well, that's hard. That's hard to say because Grant Delpit hasn't taken a snap in a Cleveland Browns uniform. Greedy Williams, I like Greedy Williams. I like both those guys. I gave them both first-round grades coming out. I gave Grant Delpit, I ranked him as a top 10 prospect in that class. I was really, really high on Grant Delpit. I know he kind of – it was another guy that didn't have the last year that everybody thought he was going to have. He dealt with some injuries. I really do truly believe that he had a very good season despite – playing with those injuries, but to say that they got those spots locked up, I don't know. We've had people on this podcast who have said that they've already checked Greedy Williams off the list. They're already talking like Greedy Williams ain't gonna make it. We've had people on this very podcast that are smarter than me that have said you can't just count Greedy Williams out. And then if he comes back, great. But count him out because those injuries are too much. So I don't think I can count on them for the long haul. You can't count them on the hall. I mean, Denzel Ward's a dude, but I mean, yeah. Those other guys, you just haven't taken a snap yet. It's hard, man.
That's true. Another question was, they were asking about the scout. They said, what player did the scout think was the best in the draft outside of Trevor Lawrence? I think I had like a thread that I tagged everybody in, like you and Bill and Eric and like the gang, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I kind of because everybody had a bunch of questions. Some other people, Sam Penix was in there too. He hopped in.
He actually just commented, amen on really? Delpit, Josh. Yeah. We should have had Sam on today. What the hell, right?
Yeah. He hopped in and like Matty V hopped in. And basically, he really liked, I tweeted it out already, but. Talking to him about this year's class is a little different because he's not working for an NFL team right now. But he said he kind of looks at it a little bit differently. He had more time to watch like everybody because, you know, they send these scouts to – he was doing Mountain West and Pac-12 North games. They got to watch everyone. He said
To give a little bit of a recap, too, you one of the things that Jeff Friston asked you was, was he mandated to just stick to his zone or his scouting area, or was he able to scout guys out of it? And you said that his comment was, or his response was, that he was stuck to his area.
Yeah.
So that plays a role in what you were saying about, you know, he was able to watch the entire landscape of college football this year.
Yeah, it does. He really liked Devontae Smith and Zach Wilson and the usual suspects. The player that he had really high, more than anyone I've ever seen, well, not ever seen, but higher than most people, was Patrick Jones.
Yeah,
that's what Sam commented on. Sam was like, he put the Simpsons emoji or whatever it was, like looking back, because he had him as edge number one. And that was his most interesting take, I feel like, kind of on the defensive end. The Florida State safety he didn't like at all. He said he had
Matt Nasruldeen.
Yeah, he said he was a day three guy.
Why? Because that's a prospect I really like.
He said his play and then some off the field stuff from
my understanding is a lot of those dudes from Florida State don't really care about. I've heard the attitude thing about a lot of people from Florida State in recent years.
He kind of was talking about attitude and kind of character stuff, but he knows more than me about that. But I mean, his play's pretty good. I mean, he's definitely raw. But I mean, day three, okay. Yeah, that kind of surprised me. Had Patrick Jones as a top 20, top 15 guy. That was a little surprising for me.
Love Patrick Jones. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like it didn't surprise me. He had him against a lot of people. He had him higher than a lot of people. But yeah, I like Patrick. It surprised me, but it's not like unfounding. It doesn't. Oh my God, clutch my pearls. Like, you know what I mean? It was about as shocking as someone saying that they like Justin Fields more than Trevor Lawrence. Like, I disagree. Yeah, but I can see it. You can make a damn good argument.
Yeah, and everyone wanted to ask me about quarterbacks too. Like I tweeted this stuff out already. Like his top, I think he had 13 draftable quarterbacks, and I tweeted them all out. I'll have to maybe find them and screenshot them again or something if people want to see him. Or I have an article out about it too on SUNY Sports, so you can do that. Sorry, shameful plug. You can do that.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, go over there.
Plug it. Sports,
because I mean. It was cool talking to him for about an hour and kind of just like asking him questions, emailing him and stuff and talking to him. But he talked about, it was cool talking about the older players that he loved. Like, I've never seen anyone love Jake Matthews more than him. Maybe besides like Jake's dad or the Matthews family. He said Jake Matthews was the best offensive lineman he's ever seen.
Really?
Coming out of Texas.
Well, how long was he a scout for?
He's young, man. He's not really that much. So yeah, because I know Bill was like, of course, that's the best line.
That's what Bill said.
Yeah, he's been in the game for about 7 years before, and then he got let go. I'm not supposed to say what team. I guess he's.
That's okay. There's a big difference. There's a big difference.
He's young. He's like 35.
Yeah, and there's just a big difference in someone saying Jake Matthews is the best offensive lineman I've ever seen, and you've been scouting for 3 years, and Jake Matthews is the best player I've ever scouted, and you being Bill Carroll, right? There's a huge difference. You know, you see that a lot. This is that time on Twitter where people are constantly tweeting out, oh my God, Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback I've ever seen, which might be true. It's true for a lot of people, but they're dudes that I'm looking on their websites and they've been writing for 2 years. Exactly. And it's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, what the hell? Who have you watched? You know what I mean? Like, bro, you didn't see Jamarcus Russell running shit, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, hey, dude. Jamarcus Russell's killing it, though.
I never liked him at LSU, but Matt Flynn was better.
he really did. If I remember right, he really only had that one big game against Notre Dame.
Exactly.
The Sugar Bowl, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It was a big, big game, though. It was like 5 touchdowns, no picks.
Like, hell yeah, it was, dude. Yeah. He had a couple other big games, but that was like
Arkansas game, like a couple weeks before that. Or like
that offense was just funky. He didn't have a statistically eye-popping game, but he was very smooth, had a giant arm.
Yeah, this guy interview wasn't even like that old for he wasn't even a scout then because he said he'd been in the game for 7 years. So he's been out of the game for 2 years. He just got hired onto a college football staff, but just recently. But anyway, it was cool talking about the older players that he's seen, like a little bit older. Obviously, like we're old enough to see him too, so it wasn't too outdated. Like Deshaun Watson, you know, guys like that. He scouted and like Sammy Watkins and stuff. That's cool.
What did he say about Sammy Watkins?
He just was like, he just liked that team a lot. He was at that Clemson game with Watson, and that was before. Taj Boyd, and CJ Spiller, I think, was a running back. I think he mentioned. I think it was CJ Spiller. I want to say CJ Spiller. They had another running back too. Because I actually laughed and asked him about the safety movie. Did you ever see that movie, the Disney movie?
On Disney Plus? I've seen previews. I haven't sat down to watch it. Is it any good?
It's a Disney cheesy movie. It's good. It was enjoyable. It was a heartwarming. It made me feel
Was good. It as good as Cars?
You can't compare that to Cars. That's totally different. It's more like Remember the Titan type of movie. But no, man, it was just weird. We talked about a lot of different stuff. We talked about safety because, like, he said one of the guys he used to scout with went to Clemson. He always be like, hey, watch this Clemson guy, watch this Clemson guy. So he's seen a lot of Clemson guys. He said it's grueling on the road to be, you know, you get like a kind of like a guy with you, like living on the road in hotels, like a friend, like that's also a scout. So it's kind of fun. He makes it fun and cool. The team did, but it's a grind. You travel obviously a lot. You're watching tape and looking at 18 to 20. 23-year-old guys all year round, and you have no life. But I mean, he liked the gig, and yeah, I mean, he's got some good play. He really, you know, really loves his quarterback class. So
I'd kill to have that job over my job, bro.
Oh yeah, true. He loves the quarterback class. He said that this quarterback class is better than last year's for sure. Like,
people are calling it the best quarterback class of all time. I think that's a little.
Who?
Exaggerated. I think I was listening to a PFF podcast earlier today, and they were saying that this is one of the best classes of all time, quarterback wise. So I
don't know.
Intense statement.
The way the scout I was talking to talked about it is a little different for me. I like this quarterback class a lot. It's top heavy. He likes the depth of it, which is kind of different because I don't think. I mean, I love Trevor Lawrence, obviously, and Zach Wilson, and that's who he had number one and two as well. And then Justin.
He's got Zach Wilson over Justin Fields, too.
He's got Zach Wilson number three overall. So, what? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just shocked how much
Justin Fields is getting shit on.
He liked Justin Fields, but he said he's kind of like a mid-first, late-first round type of guy.
The problem with Justin Fields, and I'm seeing a lot of people talk about him making reads too slow. You've heard that, right?
I've heard that. And
he doesn't make a second progression. That Ohio State offense is very simple. And 90% of the time, his first read is open because it was Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if it's that he can't. It's just that he doesn't. You know what I mean?
I mean, I've been watching Justin for a while, man. Obviously, like from back in high school, and like Justin's been this good. Like it's like not like it's out of the blue. Like Justin, this is how Justin Fields played in high school, like the exact same way. He did the exact same things. He hasn't really. I'm not gonna say he's not gotten better because obviously he has, but like he's doing the same things I saw him do his junior, like in high school. Like,
yeah,
in Kennesaw. So I'm not surprised by what he does. I don't know about the X's and O's he can do on the boards and stuff. That's different. I'm not with him on the chalkboard or the whiteboard or whatever. But
I believe it was Jeff who would say I can't remember who said maybe it was Bill. I don't know that you want to scout a player based off of what he can do and not off of what he can't do, right? So just because we haven't seen Justin Fields. He hasn't needed to add that portion into his repertoire as much as some of these other quarterbacks in the class. But Mac Jones doesn't either. Mac Jones ain't doing that shit.
He had Mac Jones ahead of Justin Fields on his quarterback list.
I'm blown away by that because Mac Jones has the exact same issues as Justin Fields or the exact same criticism as Justin Fields, only Mac Jones doesn't have any of the mobility. Zach Wilson, I'm understanding – Zach Wilson is more or less, I my understanding is that people are falling in love with him based off of the analytics, right? Like based off of his percentage and you know catchable passes and blah 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 blah. But I don't, I just
ball placement is
I'm just surprised Justin Fields is getting shit on.
Zach Wilson has the, and I'm a huge Trevor Lawrence guy, like through and through. I think he's the best quarterback, like. Stamp approval, but Zach Wilson's ball placement is better than everybody. But Zach Wilson's ball placement is better than everybody I've seen in last year's draft, except Joe Burrow. I mean, Zach Wilson's ball placement is because he puts it on you, man. Like, you can't drop his passes because they're just like when he throws it, they're right there, dude. And he throws in those tight windows. And Zach's more fun to watch than most of these guys, too. You got to put that in because the media is going to go with the fun guy, like. Always. Man, Zach Wilson. If you throw on a tape of Zach Wilson, he's going to do the backyard, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, cool, Watson, all the quarterbacks that, you know, the kids like. It's Zach Wilson.
I'm not done with my quarterback grades yet. Honestly, I haven't really gotten down to the nitty gritty of it because it's weird not doing that because being the Browns, you're so used to doing it every year. I'm used to having my quarterback. I'm used to having my quarterback grades done by December, really.
That's true.
But this year, I haven't really like sat down and decided who I like better than who. I'm just surprised that Justin Fields is getting shit on as much as he is. But regardless, it is what it is. Did you have anything else to add before we moved on? I kind of cut you off there because I got a little excited about the quarterback talk.
No, it was cool talking about quarterbacks. I didn't really have anything else. It's just like he really talked about the quarterbacks as far like Trey Lance too, like as another good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Davis Mills, who's kind of gaining a lot of steam lately.
I don't know why.
I was a part of that train though. I started that, so thank you. No, I'm just kidding. I like
Davis. I don't know. I don't know what he did to light people on fire. I don't know what happened there.
I think Davis is just smart. Well, I don't know if these teams have talked to these quarterbacks yet, but like if you talk to Davis Mills for like 2 seconds, dude, like, you're gonna be like, "Holy crap, this is like the smartest guy I've ever met in my life."
You know what?
I mean, he's so smart, man. He's like he's a double major, Stanford College sociology mate. Like he's really smart. I don't know about his, you know, how smart he's on the field. It seems like he doesn't really make mistakes, but he doesn't wow you with stuff. But he's a fourth, fifth round guy, but it's. He hasn't been healthy, man. That's the thing about Davis. Like, I think Davis could have been a lot higher if he had to stay healthy, but I don't know. We'll see.
That's right around the range the Browns might start looking,
for a backup.
With Case Keenum getting up there in age, it might be a good idea to start figuring out who Baker's backup's going to be. A guy that I saw our editor Jeff Risden mock to the Browns. And I actually like it was Ian Book from Notre Dame. He gets another guy that gets shit on a lot because I don't know. They expect every person from Notre Dame to be God's gift to football. But we talked about Ian Book. I was very negative on Ian Book. If you remember during the season, I bet against Notre Dame quite often because of Ian Book. But he had some games where he played lights out, where he put the team on his back. He has a very similar play style to Baker. You know, he runs around. I just think he's kind of that would be an interesting look if he's available there in the 6th, 7th round, which he should be.
No, the last thing I will say that's funny. I did ask the scout just for the Browns show in the Browns Wire, what players do you think the Browns should take? Of course, I had to ask him that. He kind of was just like, I don't know what the Browns like need necessarily. That's different. I don't know about the Browns enough. But he definitely was saying that back quarterback is one, so they should look at a day. He was mentioning Davis Mills. He said receiver, and a couple linemen up front and a corner. So. That was kind of some of the stuff he mentioned they need, which is the same stuff we always know they need. But he didn't mention, I asked him who their first round pick should be. And he kind of just like, I'm not going to say who their first round pick should be. That's too hard of a question. But he just named like 5 positions. And I was like, okay, well, he's not going to answer this. So try to get some stuff for the Browns, man. He said the Browns don't have many needs, though. He's like, they're a pretty complete team. They're young. He's like, they don't really have too many glaring needs, which is true. They don't have that many.
There's a few. I mean, there are a couple players away. We talked about how weak that defense is.
Are they a J.J. Watt away?
No, they need more than that.
That's fair. That was
their linebackers. We talked about their linebackers being booty. We talked about you. I mean, you just asked if 2 guys who've never taken a snap in Cleveland are
they're young.
Are go to players. Saying. Yeah, but that's not, you know.
Those guys might develop into something special, hopefully.
Or they might not.
Yeah, sure.
It was 50-50, bro.
Because I forget how young the Browns are, though. You know, like they're one of the 10 youngest teams in the NFL.
Is that right?
Yeah. Shout out to Justice for having the ages of teams. He's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't like him, but sometimes I do. Sorry, Justice.
He's probably, live on
he
Twitter.
He might actually listen to this.
Possibly, bro. It depends if he's a Johnny Manziel fan. That's where all of our listeners. That's where all the listeners come from.
I like Justice. He's just super analytical, dude. My major was sports marketing analytics, but he's like only analytics matter, nothing else. I'm like, dude,
gotta find that happy medium, bro. Exactly. Gotta find that happy medium.
But yeah, that's all for me. That was cool to interview him. But
thanks. All right. Well, we're going to make this podcast rather short. We got a big podcast next week. We got the OBR's own Jake Burns going to be joining us. Jake, I just saw our friend Mac tweet out that Jake was on his podcast this week. That's a fish store idea. But no, Jake's going to be joining us next week, and we're going to be talking even more Browns football, even more free agency draft news. But until then, let's break down something interesting, Donovan. Last week we talked about the Browns making a move for an edge rusher. We've been talking a lot about them addressing that need in the draft. With J.J. Watt now on the market, okay, and it kind of being unavoidable that he's been the talk of the town, who do you view as your top 10 perfect fits as an edge rusher for the Cleveland Browns in free agency? I have my list. I'd like to go. Let's go a little back-to-back style. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
This is you, man. It's the key.
You sure? Because this one's a layup, bro.
Go ahead.
J.J. Watt, dude. J.J. Watt, right? You know, I know he's 31 years old. He's dealt with some injuries the last few years. He's definitely not the same player he was 3-4 years ago. Still very, very good. I looked up his PFF grade. He had the 7th. Highest edge rusher rating for PFF last year. That's still very good. I would say borderline elite. You're looking at a guy that's going to want about $13 million a year. Again, I looked at multiple sources that have him in that range, 12 to 14. So I just picked it in the middle. Should be affordable for the Browns if they're looking to make a move. So, yeah, I think that's probably my number one option. What do you think?
I had Shaquille Barrett.
That's your number one option?
Yeah.
Now, see, he's good. I didn't even put him on my list because he's going to be $75 billion, right?
Yeah, but
did you by chance look up how much he's going to be going for?
It's going to be, top dollar, not 100 million, not nothing like that. But yeah, probably about 60, right? 70.
I don't know. Give us a breakdown of what you see.
J.J. Watt is probably number one because you're only going to sign J.J. Watt to a 1 or 2 year deal. Shaq Barrett's going to be looking for a 4 or 5 year deal. This is his last big contract. Shaq Barrett's 29, I believe. J.J. Watt would be 32 start of the season. Barrett would be 29. He just came off a great season, even though he's hurt. Came off a great season. So he's going to be asked for a lot of money. But I think. I mean, yeah, he's going to go to the Browns, probably not. I mean, he's probably go back to Tampa. But he's going to go to a contender because he just won the Super Bowl. So he's not going to go to a trash team.
But wouldn't that be the time to go to a trash team?
Yeah.
Because he's true. Just want to get paid now, right?
Yeah,
true. I just looked up PFF has his projected contract at $18 million per year. So that's a pretty substantial jump.
For 4 years, too, probably 4 or 5 years, I'd say.
18. Yeah, but another thing, too, to consider about Shaq Barrett is I don't really know how he fits what Cleveland is doing. He's more of a like an outside linebacker. Like what's
yeah, he's play outside linebacker.
You know what I mean? Like he fits that weird he's definitely an edge rusher, but he's not J.J. Watt is
he fits more.
Shit, you can move him on the inside if you absolutely have to. At 6'2", 250, Shaq Barrett is not your typical he's gonna be a stand up defensive end.
That's true.
I don't know. Obviously he's a stud, so it wouldn't be. It's not like
you're gonna shoot for heavy, right? I don't know the Browns cap room situation, but I mean, it seems like right.
I'm terrible at knowing the cap. I just saw that he was significantly higher than everybody.
Well, just
else,
with so all just the all those young guys, they haven't paid it on the team. I mean, I feel like this would be kind of maybe a good time to go after a big name player like this, because you don't Tristan Wirfs. You don't have to pay him yet. You know, what I mean, you can wait on
Tristan Wirfs.
It's not Houston. I'm thinking about Tampa Bay too much. The top pick for
Jedrick Wills.
Jedrick Wills. Yeah, excuse me. Houston worse. I had them 1A, 1B in the draft last year. But anyway, yeah, Jedrick Wills. Those guys like coming up. You don't have to pay. I mean, you're gonna have to pay Denzel. Obviously, that's gonna happen. You know, there's the guys you're gonna have to pay, but we'll see. I mean, JJ Watt. You know, that's more realistic than Shaquille Barrett for sure, but.
My number two option was Carl Lawson, most recently played for the Cincinnati Bengals, 25 years old. He had a fantastic rookie season in 2017 after being drafted in the fourth round. I actually gave him – fun fact, I gave him a first-round grade that year, believe it or not. And he played up to that, winning – you know, was I think he was definitely on the all-rookie team. He was fantastic. He's a great pass rusher. I wouldn't say he's a liability against the run, but that's not his finest – point. This is a guy that PFF has as a projected 14 mil per year contract. So it's higher than Watt, but that's because he's significantly younger than Watt. This is a guy I think he's been quality. I think he steps in and makes an impact immediately. Donovan, who's your number two guy?
JJ Watt. So
really?
Yeah, we already, everybody.
Who's up? Who you got after him?
Lawson.
Really? Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Who you got after him?
Ryan Kerrigan.
Ryan Kerrigan. That's a good one. I didn't even think about, dude.
I'm a huge Ryan Kerrigan fan.
Yeah.
I feel like he's always been undervalued. He's had some injuries kind of a late last. I mean, really, he's like – I feel like he's a – is this wrong to say he's like a poor man J.J. Watt? Not – yeah, that's not – J.J. Watt's won three defensive players of the year, and he's a Hall of Famer. Kerrigan's not on that level. He's not poor man's, but he's
– he's good, though. He is good. I mean, he dealt with some injuries, so that kind of knocked him off a little bit. But it's not – you know.
He dealt with injuries, but, I mean, yeah, he – because this year he only had 5.5 sacks. You can kind of see his play to car.
He's actually older than Watt, too. 30 –
is he 32, 33?
Yeah, 32.
Well, yeah, Watt would be 32 by the start of the season, though. So I think they're like,
whatever. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great pick.
Kerrigan's just as beat up as Watt. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries, man. Maybe not nearly as many, like, surgeries.
He might be more beat up than Watt. But,
yeah, he might be.
Either way, you might be able to get him for under 10 mil. That's a you good should. One. I like that one. That's a very good one. Ryan Kerrigan still has some juice.
Good locker room fit. Kind of has that tenacity that it, you know, just he definitely wants to be on a winner, kind of maybe the opposite of Barry. I was saying a guy that's already, he's already made his big money. Now it's time to go play for a big time winner. He's won some, I guess he's been in the playoff a few times with Washington, but he's never won anything.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good pick. My number three pick, it's funny because Jeff Risen, our editor, wrote an article about the top edge rushers that the Browns need to go for. And just was, he had a do not go after list. And Jadeveon Clowney was on his do not go after list. Well, he's number three on my list. Only 28 years old. Probably going to be right there in that Watt price range again at 13 mil. But again, this is we know Jadeveon Clowney. He's a guy with the elite physical traits that doesn't necessarily translate as a pass rusher. He's not bad as a pass rusher. He's just not elite as a pass rusher like the two other guys that I listed. But you don't need to be a great pass rusher. You're looking for someone to pair with Myles Garrett and take the focus off him. Again, at 28 years with his physical ability, I think it'd be an interesting fit.
I like that one. That was next on my list, actually, him. And then I had Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams. That's also a good one.
He fits on that team, man. And he really – he's still only 27. He was young when he came out. He's
more of an interior player, though, I would say. He's not an edge rusher.
He's not a pure edge, no. He's more of an interior guy. But – I like Leo coming out of USC, obviously, and he definitely didn't live up to, you know, a top five pick or anything like that. And he's had some kind of, you know, people call him lazy or whatever the case may be. That's fine. But he's still 27. He's still he kind of had a pretty good year last year, honestly. Like, he kind of came into his own.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's coming into his own a little bit late. So I think that'd be kind of one of those steals. Like, you know, you're paying him kind of definitely under $8 million, I would say, right?
I was looking it up as you were talking. PFF says it's going to be $20 million a year
for Leo.
That's what they have him rated as, 20 mil a year. I think it's like because he's 10. So young and he does play on the interior. I think that it's very he has that capability to play on the interior, and there's not a lot of guys in the free agency class that can, and the draft is a super hot. I mean, Christian Barrymore's probably the best interior guy, and he's not going to go until, you know, pick after 25. So I think that ups his value a little bit.
That makes sense.
But Leonard, I don't know though, dude. I'm so bad when it comes to cap and projections and all that. But Leonard Williams is fantastic. That's a guy that he gets shit on a little bit because, like you said, he was drafted so high. But he's not a bust. If he was drafted number 15 overall, no one would be saying shit. He's a very, 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 very effective run stuffer. And I think because he's not a pass rusher, obviously that's kind of limiting how much exposure he gets as a star. But he is. He's a badass. That's a good pick. I like that.
He is. Yeah. He, like I said, first couple of years, I thought he was going to be a buzz. It was pretty bad. Just a lack of effort and stuff like that, or whatever. But I mean, he was 20, you know, kind of young on that team. We kind of expected a lot of him early on. And, you know, I mean, he's coming to his own, though. So yeah, that'd be a good one.
Big fan. My number four guy is Yannick Ngakoue, 25 years old. We know about Yannick. We know that he's been very, very, very solid. He's a solid pass rusher. When the Vikings added him, for some reason, there was this narrative going around that he was going to be this explosive, game-changing defensive end. And he is game-changing, but he's not an elite pass rusher. I don't know where that narrative came from.
He's a
player. This might be – this was listed as – I was surprised by how expensive PFF acted, you know, project him to be at 18 mil per year. I think it's because he's so young. Even with that, I don't – that's just kind of – that number's kind of hard for me to believe, and I think he'd be a really good fit with Cleveland.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue is great. That'd be a good one. I didn't see that's a guy that kind of like Barrett. Can they afford him? Because I knew he'd be like 20, 25. Yeah. And that's he's a, I don't say special talent, but he's a really good player. He's just instinctive. Yes, he's a playmaker. So a lot of batted balls and just instinctive plays, tackling for loss or fumbles, stuff like that. So he's a playmaker, man. I like him. He can definitely make some plays and kind of change what you're doing. I mean, obviously watching with the Jags and the Ravens, I think the Ravens should definitely try to sign him and Matthew Judon back. Who also is on my list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, who's your next guy? Is it Judon?
It was Yannick Ngakoue and then Judon.
Oh, okay.
And then go ahead. I don't want to say and then because I've.
But your next guy is Judon that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, Matthew Judon, not Judon. Judon.
What do you think about him? What do you think about his fit?
I think he fits, but money-wise, I mean, he's going to be asked for top dollar, too, I feel like.
He's another guy. I don't know. He's kind of short. I thought he's kind of in that Shaquille Barrett stand-up role. He can be very productive. He was very productive. I remember him coming out of Grand Valley State. Like I said, I have some question marks about him. I have some questions and marks about his fit, like I did with Shaquille Barrett.
That's fair. So he's just playing the outside linebacker role.
I mean, no, he's a stand up guy. I don't know. I think the Browns they would rather have a guy like JJ Watt. They would rather have, if you're looking at those tweener guys, they'd rather have a guy that can slide inside than it's going to be stand up. My number five guy is Melvin Ingram. Again, the guy who's over 30 or 31 years old, he's been fantastic. The last 4 or 5 years, last 3 years, he's been really great. Ever since basically the Chargers drafted Joey Bosa, he hasn't been the only guy in that defensive line. He's been fantastic. He's like one of the most underrated players in the NFL. He don't have a whole lot left in his tank, obviously being over 30. But this is a guy I think that they could add for PFF ranks at 10 million a year. So that's so far the cheapest guy that I've named. And again, he's a Pro Bowl caliber player on the opposite end of Myles Garrett.
All right, I like Melvin Ingram. Yeah, and I think he still has some juice left. Always not going to be a Pro Bowl type player.
He was great last season.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. Especially, he doesn't have to be the man. Like, he has
exactly
Miles next to him. So Miles and Melvin, that could be a good fit together. I had Trey Hendrickson.
I like that. I have him on my list too.
I like Trey Hendrickson a lot, man. He was Louisiana Tech. Is that where he went to school?
I thought it was Florida Atlantic, but maybe I'm wrong.
You're probably right.
Because I think he's from Florida.
Yeah. You're right. Not LA Tech.
Yeah, Florida Atlantic. Yeah,
Florida Atlantic. He's
I like it. I like him. I don't know. Like I said, PFF. You have the PFF numbers in front of you. That's really helpful.
I do not. I've been I can. Googling them real fast.
Trey's gonna ask for a lot, man.
I already wrote him down, so I do have his numbers in front of me. 12 mil a year.
I thought it'd be more than that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. I don't know how they do it. I don't know
that. Leo number surprised me, but you kind of explained it. Where like this class for inside guys is not good at all.
I'm pulling it out of my. Get these numbers. That's me justifying what they have.
Because the agents got to do their magic and stuff too. So yeah, I get that. That's a good one though. And the next guy I had was Melvin Ingram. That's probably the last guy I had on my list.
Well, Trey Hendrickson is a good one. Only 26 years old, had a magnificent last season.
Yeah.
I'd be all for that. My number six guy was Bud Dupree. 28 years old. We obviously Browns fans are very familiar with him and his work. He had a badass 2019. Last season, he dipped a little bit. A lot of that was due to injury, but he's still fantastic. And PFF says his projected contract's only going to be $10 million a year because of the injury. I'd sign him. I'd sign him in a second. I think he's a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good fit. Yeah. Browns fans are definitely familiar with him.
Yeah.
Always been a good – like watching him. Liked watching him at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, playing with the Steelers basketball. But yeah, he's injury prone. But I mean, a lot of these.
Well, is he really injury prone? He just had one bad injury.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, how much time has he missed though?
Didn't he have some medicals coming out of college?
I didn't think so.
I thought he had some medical stuff.
That'll take too long to Google. I can certainly try, but I think that's going to take.
Yeah, I thought he did, but I could be wrong for sure.
He suffered a groin injury at the combine.
I knew it was something like that.
Yeah, but I don't.
I just remember. Yeah, that's not really injury prone. J.D. Watt and Ryan Kerrigan are injury prone.
Yeah, and I don't even say I don't know. Injury prone to me is like. I don't know, like Peter Wark was injury prone, right? Like every time he stepped on the field, there was something torn or messed up. RG3 was injury prone.
RG3,
yeah. Those guys, JJ Watt is just, he's getting worn down, right? I mean, I think he made it all, he made it through the entire season last season. And like he got hurt last season. But you know, he's over 30. So now when he gets hurt, he's done.
I heard he trains too hard too. Cause like Shannon Sharp was talking about how, when you're after 30, dude, you got to stop training as hard. Like, you don't have to go as hard training. Like, you need to slow down a little bit in the training and, like, workout regimen, which is kind of true. Like, I mean, I'm not going to
– I don't know. I have no
idea. I'm not a world-class athlete.
Yeah.
I've just heard that you cannot get – I mean, because you're lifting weights. You're not just doing, like, workout drills. You're, like – J.J. Watt's doing the tire drills and stuff. Like, he's, you know, he's crazy, dude. He's insane. I love J.J.
I do not have the understanding of how our bodies work to comment on whether or not you should what the level of training you should be is. I do think that once, you know, I'm not a professional athlete, but when I was in a college, I did mess up my shoulder pretty bad, and if I bench wrong. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're a professional athlete and you're over 32, I feel like once you do something once and you hit that age, it's just, it's always going to be, I just think it's always there. You're always, it's just easier to mess up the next time and the next time and the next time.
Yeah.
And I think Kerrigan and Watt are kind of at those ages, but again, I don't think Bud Dupree is though.
I mean, yeah, it's like us working out now compared to.
Yeah, man.
10 years ago. Like
for sure. I mean, I got stretched out for 15 minutes.
Oh dude, my hips. Dude, I didn't know what a hip flexor really was until like I got this eight. I was like,
from all that grinding, Donovan.
All that grinding, from all them tacos at Taco Bell at like 11 o'clock. Then trying to hit, like, I'm going to the gym after the podcast.
Oh, is Taco Bell your pre workout meal?
No, I work too much downtown to cook. Yeah.
Dude, there's an Arby's cool. Right next to my gym, bro. Oh, so God. Saturday mornings, I'll wake up
at protein.
Oh, it's bad, dude. I'll wake up. I'll go to the gym. I'll go smash some Arby's. It's so bad, dude.
Have you had the Meat Mountain? What do you think?
The Meat Mountain?
Everyone's shitting on that, dude. So hard.
I haven't had the Meat Mountain yet.
I don't want to have it.
I don't really know what that is.
You haven't seen that yet?
Meat Mountain sounds like an inappropriate. It sounds like that'd be like my porn star name. Meat Mountain. Wouldn't that be? That's a dope porn star name, right?
It's like a sandwich this big, and it's just like meat, like all
Meat Mountain. What's wrong with people are shitting on that? What are you talking about? Why?
Because it just looks like why? Like it looks like one of those quadruple decker burgers. Like, dude, come on! Like, just get a double cheeseburger like everybody else. Like, why are you eating a quadruple stack, dude? Like a quad stack. You know why are you doing this?
Like, why dude, not, dude? Why not?
I guess why not? It just doesn't look.
Ugh, it does. It looks really bad.
The aesthetics are not pleasing.
No, well, that's because it's got 85 different kinds of meat on it.
Yeah, dude. But strawberry roast beef.
You just gotta stick with the beef and cheese, bro.
Not a pastrami guy.
Oh, that's disgusting, dude.
So people can see it. Yeah, dude. No, and like that's not the one. I saw the Arby's picture. Like they put it on their Twitter, and it always looks perfect.
Yeah, that's beautiful right there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one I saw. It has the grilled chicken or fried chicken.
Not ugh. Yeah. Whatever, dude. What do you expect from a restaurant that's got the meats, dude?
You know, Arby's and Beto's, man, are like the same company.
My favorite thing to do is when Jesse and I go out to eat is to say the slogan of the place until she gets what I'm doing because she'll forget. So, like, if you go to Olive Garden, be like, when we're here, we're family. When we're here, we're just say it like whenever you can. Like when the waitress will be like, "Hey, when we're here, we're family, right?" And then she won't figure it out. Like the sixth time we went to Applebee's and it's like it's good. It's all good in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So like every time it's all good in the neighborhood, but she's like, "Why do you keep saying that? What's going on?"
Dude, you're a funny guy, man. I want you to know. You're really
do it next time you guys go out to eat and see how long it takes. But she's it's gotta
annoying though. I'm not funny as you like.
No, dude. Well, you gotta tell that. So when she thinks you're annoyed, you just gotta be like, "What are you stupid? Don't you watch Mark? Don't you know anything about marketing?"
Oh yeah, true.
You gotta spin it on her, dude.
That's funny. No, you're funny. You're funny though, man. I've always been like, dude, Josh is one of the funniest guys I know.
For sure. Well, I try. What's so? Who's your next guy?
Josh Keatley. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's it. I named 5'8". I named a bunch of guys that you had already named. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I had, really. You just brought up Brett Dupree, who I also had down. It's my like last guy. But, yeah, that's it. I think that's it. That's all I have.
So, a couple more guys that I had was Leonard Floyd. Again, another 28-year-old guy. Very solid. I thought he was solid. Jeff had him on his do not touch list as well.
Which he had a bad playoff game versus the Packers. But, I mean, that's just the last time I saw him. But, I mean, he did. Yeah, he played. I mean, not even that pass, that fake pass. Just the whole game was bad. But
no, that's another guy who's going to expect around 14 mil a year. Another person on Jefferson's do not touch list, Alden Smith, who's 31 years old. I thought Alden Smith played fantastic this year after sitting out for 4 years, hoping he has his life on straight. And this is a guy that they're projecting to only make $8 million a year. What? He was fantastic, dude.
I don't know if you want to bring that into that locker room.
How do you know if he's still – if he had
– You don't. He's had too many mess-ups to know.
But
he's just
– you don't want to risk it is what you're saying.
You don't – because you don't – no, because I feel like the Browns are a guy away, like a one or two players away, but he's not going to – He might not be there. Like J.J. Watt might not be there for injury, but it's not or Kerrigan, but it's not going to be for his off the field stuff or filling the podcast.
That's fair. And Jeff had the same remarks in his article.
I like him. I'm happy he came back and had a good year, though. He really did not play for that. He said it was impressive.
Dude, I don't think he played. Took a snap for like 4 years, bro.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, he did play well. I mean, if you miss out on all these guys, then yeah, I mean,
The other guy is Hassan Reddick, 26 years old. He had a hell of a 2020. Not really whole 2020, like the last four games maybe, but whatever. He was fantastic this season. I don't know if he's going to be super expensive because the first 3 years of his career were utter garbage. So he really exploded on the scene. But he's still young. Someone they're probably going to get around the $9 million range according to PFF. So, yeah, those are the 10 guys.
I like Hassan Reddick. That's a good one. I really think, kind of like Leo Williams, started off really bad as a bust. Now kind of got that resurgence.
Way worse, though. I mean, he wasn't seeing the field, dude. Leonard Williams was playing.
Yeah, Leonard Williams still starting.
Hassan Reddick wasn't seeing the field.
But Leonard Williams also got traded, though. So which one's worse? Like, know.
Well, they were getting assets from him, right? I don't.
Yeah, true.
I don't.
Got,
I don't feel
got
like
traded if, to New York. To New York.
Yeah, no shit. I feel like if 2 years ago if the Cardinals would have tried to trade Hassan Reddick, they weren't getting shit for him.
That's true.
That would have been, been about as unsuccessful as they were with the Josh Allen trade.
Yeah, Cliff really talked about him. How is a good leader too? So that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
sure he is, you know, coming from Temple and all that. Yeah. But that's it, man. That way we said we would keep it nice and short. We're at 48 minutes. This was the Brown Wire podcast. I tell you what, if you leave us a 5-star review, if you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, we will answer whatever question, DM us, whatever it is. As long as you show us proof that you left us a 5-star review, we will bring up your question, use your little hashtag, whatever you want to do.
We will pay you. I'm just kidding.
We will do that on next week's show. Jake Burns will be joining us from the OBR. Everybody in Brown Sword is very familiar with Jake's work and how great he is. You can find my articles on Browns Wire. Very often I am criticizing and breaking down mock drafts. Haven't had one out in a while, but I'll start to work on that this week. Donovan, what you got going on?
Yeah, man. Like I said, I did an interview with the former AFC West area scout. So that interview is on City and Sports. And I actually just did I finally did my 2022 class for high school football, top 25 players. That'll come out Saturday because I'm off on Saturday. So I'll be able to finish it.
Awesome.
It should come out Saturday morning for sure. I want to have that come out Saturday morning. High school football kind of coming back for a couple states. So yeah, that's about it. And then this show, Browns Wire, we got, should we tell them, Josh? We got a couple. The March Madness is coming up, so.
Oh, dude! Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Yes, you want to tell everybody what we got going on?
Yeah, so in honor of March Madness, because I'm a college basketball junkie, I fill like 30 brackets a year. Josh probably doesn't, but it's cool. I'm gonna make you do one this year.
I used to do one at work, and I would just
try. Ohio State's good at basketball this year. They've got one of the.
I heard that
Michigan Michigan just beat them. But Michigan is really good this year. But Ohio State's good. It's like they're a top like 20 team.
Really? Someone I think on the radio I heard them say they were going to be a number one seed. No.
Oh, they'd probably be a 2 seed. Depends on the Big Ten tournament. They could be a 1 seed. They could be a 3 though. Big Ten's deep. The Big Ten's the best conference this year for
is that
basketball.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like football. Big Ten and SEC this year. Usually ACC, but Duke and North Carolina are. But anyway, what we're doing is March Madness style with the top Browns, 32 quarterback. We're going to do 64 or 68 like the we could with the Browns quarterback.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Basically, all they have had to do is start a game for the Browns. One.
So we got to make the bracket first.
We got to make the bracket. It's going to be made this weekend. We'll throw it up and then we'll kind of dissect and talk about it on the show on Tuesday. And then we'll go to the Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, and the number one. I think the number one seed is probably going to be Baker Mayfield, I would say, right?
Well, there'd be 2 number one seeds, right?
There'd be 4 number one seeds, technically.
In a 32-team bracket?
It would be 4. I mean, yeah, if you break it, like, in 4 regions. Like the.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Well, you probably Bernie Kosar? Pretty Kozar would be up there. Autogram could be up there.
Oh, yeah, Autogram.
There's a couple guys, bro. Brian Sipe would definitely be up there.
Yeah. Ken Dorsey's got to be on there.
Yeah.
Oh, Brady Quinn.
Oh, my boy.
Brady Johnny Cooper. Manziel.
Spurgeon Wynn. Trent Dilfer. Garcia.
See, we got it. A lot of guys. Who else? Charlie Fry.
Love
Derek Anderson. I feel like he kind of underrated a little bit. Derek Anderson, right? A little bit.
Derek Anderson was overrated. They should have got rid of him when he was. He had a big arm. He just threw it up to Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow. That was like that 1 year of greatness in 2017 when they kind of everything kind of meshed really well. So he fit what they were doing really well. And then Kellen Winslow got in trouble, and they Brown signed him to an extension. One thing led to another, and Derek Anderson kind of came. Flat cut crashing down. If you remember him at Oregon State, he had a big arm. He always had a giant arm. I mean, even when I remember playing Madden, his arm strength would be like 99. Like 90,
yeah.
But everything else was like 60. We're also going to do the Cleveland Browns draft. We're going to draft our all-time Cleveland Browns teams. We're going to get 4 people involved here, 4 Browns teams. we're still going to decide how far we're going to take this, if we're going to really draft all 22 people. But we'll see. We're going to work out the kinks, and maybe we'll try to, and then within the next 2 weeks, kind of announce what we're going to do. But yeah, make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Josh Keatley 16, and Don, where can I reach you at?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Don Dan Sports. I guess I should put my ad on here next time, like you have it.
Dude, yeah, dude, that's dope, right?
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I bought $200 worth of CFL cards over the weekend?
Oh my god, that is not surprising, and also a good time to buy cards right now. CFL cards, I don't know, but it's a good time to buy. It's a good time to buy trading cards. That's a big thing right now. It's coming back.
Well, we were with a couple shows ago with Jeff. With Jeff on, we talked about Art Schleister, the infamous Art Schleister.
Oh yeah,
I wanted to check that out, dude. Check that baby out, bro.
Yeah, I looked him up after the show, and I was like, "Damn, dude!"
After I kicked out of the NFL, Ottawa Rough Riders, baby.
He's like wilder than Johnny Manziel,
dude.
Well, I don't know.
Way wild? No, he is way wilder, bro. Way wilder.
But Johnny has some crazy. Johnny's story is still being written. Man. It's only 27.
Bro,
but yeah, this guy has some crazy stuff.
Oh, shit.
I don't want Johnny to have crazy stuff.
You don't want him to end up like Ursulis or sitting in jail.
No, I do not want that.
Poor Johnny. But all right, this was the Browns Wire Podcast, and we are out.